week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The IAAF World Championships in Athletics officially opened Friday in Doha, Qatar. The 10-day event will feature nearly 2,000 athletes from more than 200 countries. Earlier this week, the IAAF Council announced a suspension of the Russian Athletics Federation remains in effect. However, some Russian athletes will compete in Doha under an ANA banner, ANA standing for Authorized Neutral Athlete. Meanwhile, a couple of other storylines before the start of the World Championships involved the heat in Doha and a veteran race walker from Spain. Joining us with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. As the best track and field athletes from around the globe gather in Doha, IAAF President Sebastian Coe told reporters weather conditions will be tough for runners and walkers alike who are set to take their marks.
Heat is actually, if I'm being tough here, heat is not the big issue. Clearly humidity. You know, anybody that's run or competed knows that actually you can deal with heat, but humidity is really a challenge. So we will watch all those metrics. We do have extra precautions. We do have extra stuff out on the course, more medical support, more water. But yes, it is going to be tough. It is going to be tough.
The first medal event is scheduled to start around midnight, but nighttime temperatures are expected to reach near 90 degrees Fahrenheit with 80% humidity. Coe says extra medical teams will be on hand to help athletes beat the heat, with most track and field events taking place in the air-conditioned Al Khalifa Stadium. Whew. Well, one athlete who will be at the starting line isn't worried about the adverse conditions that await him in Doha. Race walker Jesus Angel Garcia is set to make his 13th appearance at the World Championships and make history. No other athlete has been to more IAAF World Championships than the 49-year-old Spaniard. And Garcia says he's operating with a full battery.
The motivation is like a battery. You have the battery full of energy, is no problem, because every morning to get the target, the objective, your dreams, this is the secret. If you have full the battery, the hard work, the matching, is no problem. It's all is in the brain. There's no more.
Garcia won championship gold back in 1993, and while he hasn't matched the success of his debut, he's appeared in every world championship tournament ever since. And if you think his last stop is Doha, think again. He's already looking ahead to Tokyo.
Now I am dreaming to finish in August 2020 in Tokyo. I don't know in this moment with my feeling, tears, happy, I don't know, it's satisfaction.
And if Garcia makes it to the upcoming Tokyo Olympics, he'll be the first track and field athlete to have competed in 8 Summer Olympic Games. Ethiopian world record holder Genzebe Dibaba will not be in this year's World Championships. Dibaba was forced to withdraw from the tournament because of a partial rupture in her right foot. The 28-year-old set the world record in the women's 1500 meters in 2015 with a time of 3 minutes 50.07 seconds. Her withdrawal now opens the door for Kenyan Olympic gold medalist Faith Kipyegon as the favorite to defend her world 15-meter title. American sprinter Christian Coleman has sent a clear message to his fans that he is running in Doha and he's running clean.
My message to fans, I'm running clean. I mean, I don't really know what else to say. I mean, I explain the situation. I don't, you know, take any performance-enhancing drugs. I don't take anything legal or illegal. Like, I just, you know, work hard in my God-given talent and abilities and just, you know, continue to do that. But that is, you know, my mistake. I'll continue to, you know, remember to update the app anytime I make a move or anything like that. But as far as, like, people, you know, taking that headline and then, like, jumping to a conclusion of, you know, oh, he has to be doing something. I mean, I think people, like, think that anyway just because, like, the history of, like, of U.S. sprinting, which I've learned more about, like, over the past month, because that's not even thing that I, like, focus on or anything like that. But so people just assume and, like, make up storylines anyways. But then when you have something, a situation like that, I can understand why people would think that. But, you know, like I said, I don't take anything. I don't take any drugs. I just, you know, regular guy who had, you know, talent and the wherewithal to be able to, you know, hone that into something that I can make money doing it. So, I don't know. I'm just really blessed that the situation was resolved.
Earlier this year, Coleman was under investigation by the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency after he missed 3 drug tests and was temporarily banned. However, the sprinter fought his case, and investigators found he only missed 2 tests within a 12-month period, and Coleman was cleared to compete. As of this report, he is considered the fastest man in the world, boasting a 100-meter time of 9.79 seconds. And Coleman is the heavy favorite to win gold in that event in Doha. There's a lot to look forward to at this year's World Championships. Stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports for results from this year's tournament. And that is all from me. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Friday's first day of action in Doha will feature the first gold medal awarded in the women's marathon. As Gwen mentioned, the race will start near midnight to avoid the worst of the Doha heat. Kenya-born Rose Chelimo, who now represents Bahrain in international competition, will defend her world title. Meanwhile, Kenya's Edna Kiplagat is bidding for a world championship hat trick. After victories in 2011 and 2013, Edna won a silver medal in the women's marathon at the 2017 World Championships in London. Still with the marathon, another Kenyan athlete is bidding for her 4th title Sunday in the BMW Berlin Marathon in Germany. Let's go to Berlin now, and here's the energetic Andy Edwards.
Gladys Chirona knows all about the BMW Berlin Marathon. She's won the women's title 3 times. She's back to try and make it 4. Gladys, last year you ran 2:18.11, course record. How do you, in your approach to Berlin, try and keep mentally fresh? Do you do anything different, or do you just think, well, I'm back in Berlin, I don't need to keep my mind fresh. I've been a winner here before, I can be a winner again. How do you approach it in your mind?
I'm so happy to be here in Berlin again for the 4th time. I have won for the last 3 years. I'm so grateful to defend my title again this Sunday, and I will be happy if I win the race again. And also, I'm ready, I'm well prepared. I'm mentally prepared for this race, and I hope to do my best on Sunday.
I know that Haile Gebrselassie, for example, studied the course of every marathon he did in detail, you know, a corner, the road surface, and he did that for Berlin. Do you do that as well? We know you've run here and won 3 times, but do you make a particular study of the Berlin course, or do you just take it as it comes?
Berlin is a flat course. I know every corner, and I know how Berlin is it, and I don't think that Berlin, it will depend on weather of the day. So I cannot say I will run like him, or because it will depend on how you have been training. Yes, it will depend on your training and program, what you have been doing. So that can matter, yeah, on that day.
You had success on the track, 10,000 meters, winning medals there, world half marathon medals again. But marathon is really where you come into your own. Now, there's some other runners here, Mesrek Defar, a lot of success on the track, coming late in her career to the marathon. How easy is it to translate, to move from the track to really being top in the marathon, to be somebody who's running, maybe Defar, Mesrek Defar would expect, under 220?
You know, when you are running a track, you have a lot of speed. So when you change to a marathon, so you have a lot of speed, but marathon, you have to train hard, you go long distance to have endurance, and so when you mix with speed, also you will run faster a marathon. So it will depend on how you mentally you focus on your training. You train hard, you be disciplined, and work hard on your training. That will make you to win the race and run faster time.
It sounded like Mesrek in the press conference just now finds the mental approach of marathon training, which you adapted to, harder. Maybe because she was just so good on the track. You know, with respect to your achievements on the track, Mesrek was winning Olympic titles and world titles, and maybe that is a hard change for someone who's been so good at shorter distances.
Yeah, I think she's also a strong athlete, and I know that she wants to run under 220. And so I'm encouraging him to encourage him that marathon is an easy and she will make. Yes.
Well, just lastly, you're already well established as a marathon runner. Last year you ran 2 hours, 18 minutes, 11 seconds. That's your personal best, and it's the fastest any woman has run in Berlin. In terms of training, everything you've done, and if you have good conditions, do you think you're on that similar level of quality?
Yes, according to what I ran last year, this year also I want to defend a title, and I don't know how fast my leg will carry me, and so I hope to do my best. I cannot say that I will run my personal best or what, so it will depend on that day. Yes.
Well, we hope we see a great women's race. And who knows, it might be win number 4 for you, Gladys. Thank you very much, and all the best for Sunday.
Thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Kenyan athlete Gladys Chirono, the defending women's champion in Sunday's BMW Berlin Marathon. Gladys will be bidding for her 4th title in the German capital. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hey, this is Shakira Shorisha, 100-meter sprinter, 100-meter bronze medalist at All-African Games. I want to send a special shout-out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African football, Nigeria will play five-time World Cup champion Brazil October 13th in a high-profile international friendly in Singapore. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with an editor on the sports desk of the news agency of Nigeria, Emmanuel Okara.
Ideally, international friendly matches are opportunity for teams to try new players, try new team tactics, and at the same time get exposed to some of the best teams in the world to give them that battlefield experience so that subsequently the team will get better. And a match against Brazil is a delight any day, any time. The last time both countries met was in 2003, a friendly match at the Abuja National Stadium, where Ronaldinho and his colleagues took apart Super Eagles by 3-0. This time around, we look forward to another sumptuous football match. We cannot say who would win, but me, I don't see friendly matches as a must win. Friendly match is an opportunity to test teams, because sometimes teams, when they get good results from friendly matches, they get lulled into a false sense of complacency, thinking that because they won and as such, they wouldn't now need to work on their, you know, shortcomings and so on.
Talking about the same friendly matches, Nigeria played by Ukraine. They were forced to 2-2 draw by Ukraine, and it's been a talk of the town too. The new look Super Eagles. How do you see the chances of the new look Super Eagles in quotes against the Brazilians that will parade the likes of Neymar, Coutinho, and all the big names?
The way it is, the new look Super Eagles is still a team in transition. So we are not as settled as the Brazilian team is. The Brazilian team, especially against the backdrop of winning the Copa America, which they hosted, and they have a standing team. The only thing that might be different from what it depends on now, the availability of some of these players. Either some might be absent through injury and some, but the Brazilian team, any day, any time, they're forced to be reckoned with, whether they play at half strength or full strength. Now, our team playing against them, we might up our game. We might want to match them strength for strength, skill for skill, and so on and so forth. But basically, they have the edge. Our team is still in transition, like I keep saying. I just pray that our coach will start settling down and giving us the regular first 11 we want to see, because every day and every time we see players being brought in and brought out and so on. While the Brazilians have a more settled side, our team is still in transition. But I expect a good match. Who will win? I don't know.
Some football analysts say the match against Brazil will be a learning experience and a good food for thought for the Super Eagles. Your take on this?
Yes, it will be a learning curve for the Super Eagles. Every team, no matter how small, they want to test their mettle. They want to prove their mettle against the almighty Brazil, the Seleção, 5 times winners of the World Cup. It will be good for our players, because when you want to see football at its, let me use the American expression, dangerous best, or you want to see football that can be rightly described as poetry in motion, the Brazilians have lots of it to dish out. So it's not left for our players and the coaches too to look at the way our players performed, because every friendly match is an opportunity for the coach to test team, to see how the team performs against certain kind of opposition. The way we play against a South American side like Brazil is different from the way we play maybe like a Benin Republic. African football is more robust. The Brazilians play more with that South American flair, but these days they are bringing a bit of European discipline into their play. But for robustness, they should be able to match us. But for physical prowess, we should. But when it comes to skills and team tactics, they are better.
That's Emmanuel Okara, an editor on the sports desk of the news agency of Nigeria. And Emmanuel spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. 3 days before the match against Nigeria on October 10th, Brazil has scheduled another friendly against Senegal in Singapore. The Senegalese were runners-up to Algeria at this year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Meanwhile, Nigerian midfielder Joe Aribo could miss that big friendly against Brazil next month after suffering a head injury Wednesday in a Scottish League Cup match. The 23-year-old Aribo plays for the Scottish club Rangers. He needed 20 stitches after a challenge by Livingston's Ricky Lamy. Rangers manager Steven Gerrard says Aribo was cut all the way to the bone, and he could miss the club's next few games. Rangers beat Livingston 1-0 in that League Cup match. Joe Aribo recently scored his first international goal for Nigeria in a 2-2 draw with Ukraine In a friendly match, Joe was making his national team debut. Turning to tennis, the recent Laver Cup team tournament in Geneva featured some of the biggest names in the sport, as well as an exciting finish. When all was said and done, Team Europe beat Team World to lift the Laver Cup for a third year in a row. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson looks back on the Swiss event.
Team Europe had been the favorite to win the Laver Cup in Geneva, and it did, but not without a gritty comeback by Team World to set up a final winner-take-all match. Spaniard Rafael Nadal was pleased.
Every victory in any place is different, but honestly, when we have been speaking a little bit all day, you know, winning by teams is just amazing because, you celebrate together, and it's a very special thing. Losing is less painful, I think, together, and winning is better.
John Isner and Jack Sock had put Team World into the lead 8-7 by beating Roger Federer and Stefanos Tsitsipas. Nick Kyrgios withdrew with an injury, putting Taylor Fritz into a match with Dominic Thiem, and Fritz pulled off a win to the delight of Kyrgios.
Upsetting, you know, this is one of my favorite events of the year, and for me to pull out of a match is never easy. But I mean, I felt it would have been selfish if I was going to go out there and maybe, you know, after a set, call it. You know, when I got someone like Taylor on the bench who's healthy and ready to go and more than capable of beating guys like Thiem, so I'm super happy for him. And obviously the loss is tough, but that moment was pretty special.
With a sudden 11-7 lead, Team Europe needed to take the last two matches to win. Federer topped John Isner, and Alexander Zverev won a tough battle with Miloš Raonic to clinch the cup for Europe as Rafa looked on.
Of course, so difficult at the end, but this year I think I appreciate even more how difficult it is to win this competition, no? Because everything goes to Sunday, and the way that the format is done is great, but it's for people who has the heart in good conditions. So
it was a tough loss for world captain John McEnroe.
I don't do that many events. You know, I commentate at the majors, and I do this event, and my playing days have, you know, going down and out. So this to me is going to sting for quite a while. This room really hurts. They all hurt.
It's 0-3 now under McEnroe.
We had chances. The first year, Nick had a chance to tie it up with the match point. The last year, we had opportunities to win. We were so close. This time, we actually had, you know, we're a point away. And we're a tiebreaker away. And we, it's just crazy. It's just unbelievable that we haven't won this. So, I know that if we don't win in Boston, I am toast. So the pressure's on already, for me at least.
Of course, Europe captain Bjorn Borg was thrilled.
Great team. I said this is the most important week of the year for me as a captain. I mean, I've been waiting for this week and to get the players together, and finally we're here, and we're here in Geneva, and the team spirit for this week has been unbelievable.
And McEnroe hopes the Laver Cup will continue to build tennis excitement as it moves to Boston next year.
It's one of the best events. I mean, I can't think of really an event or something new that's happened in the sport over the course of the last couple of years that's better than this. I'm a team guy, but I hope the Davis Cup is successful. That's a radical change. They have another event. It seems like there's, you know, the Olympics. So there seems to be too many, dare I say, team events. But when you have Rod Laver and Roger Federer behind this the way they have been, and the excitement that people see, I mean, these guys fought their hearts out. It's a bummer, but it's an awesome event.
That's John McEnroe, the captain of Team World at the recent Laver Cup tennis tournament in Geneva, Switzerland. And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that report. Finally, Thursday's results at the Rugby World Cup in Japan. England and Italy both posted comfortable victories. England beat the United States 45-7. This was no Boston Tea Party for the Americans. And Italy topped Canada 48-7. The English and the Italians now top their respective pools with 10 points each from two matches. And that wraps up the September 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
This is Science in a Minute.
What quality is most important to you when looking for a long-term partner? A new study led by Swansea University in Wales found the attribute people find most important is kindness. The study authors recruited 3,000 college students from campuses around the world. They gave the students a set budget of so-called mate dollars to purchase amounts of 8 distinct characteristics that would produce their ideal mate. While the students did spend a bit of their budget on good looks or good financial prospects, they spent most of their budget, between 22 and 26%, on kindness. Other attributes they could purchase were humor, chastity, religiosity, the desire for children, and creativity. According to the study, creativity and chastity were considered the least important traits, getting less than 10% of the students' budgets. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up, dance this music.
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 22:30 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.